The latest issue's Etc. journal contains a confession. It's about my problem with the commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You can read it by subscribing to the issue's Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also details Pastor Will Wheaton's journey on the Wittenberg Trail. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal today, issuesetc.org.
A king has his reign. And then he dies. It's inevitable.
Prometheus has been.
These are ancient civilizations that were separated by centuries, and yet
this same pictogram was discovered in every one of them.
They're smiling.
I think they want us to come and find them.
We're all here because of a map you two kids found in a cave.
Not a map. An invitation.
From whom?
Please tell me you can read that.
Prometheus, are you seeing this?
A little bit of the trailer from the movie Prometheus. I wonder, when we go to the movies, what worldviews are we imbibing of without knowing it? That doesn't mean Christians shouldn't see movies, but we ought to see them aware of what we're seeing and what we're being shown, what we're being taught. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. back live this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 12th of June. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Jonathan Fisk joins us for some movie reviews. Here in the first half hour of the program, we'll look at Prometheus, Men in Black 3, Battleship, Snow White, and The Huntsman with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. A little bit later, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us for our weekly visit to teach a Sunday school lesson. We'll be talking about David the shepherd boar. Before he becomes king, before he shepherds the house of Israel, he shepherds sheep, literally. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse will kick off the second hour with us on this Tuesday afternoon. We'll talk about a new study on the children of same-sex parents, or we should say, yes, same-sex parents. We're told that there's no difference. No difference in outcomes for kids raised by gay or lesbian couples. Does the research support that? Colleen Carroll Campbell will join us a little bit later. We'll talk about those undercover videos. They're coming out almost a couple a week that have been taken at Planned Parenthood and other abortion clinics in New York and Austin, Texas. The latest come from other abortion clinics in Arizona, I believe, and they are proof positive that in abortion clinics across the country, there is sex-selective abortion taking place, and if you want one, they will help you get one. James White will be our guest in the last part of the program. We're going to talk about the Council of Nicaea back in 325. That's a long time ago, but there are a lot of myths that swirl around it. One of them, from liberal Bible scholars, is that's when Christianity was born. That's when everybody took the teachings of Jesus and Paul and mishmashed them together, and under the guidance of Constantine the Emperor and all of his political schemings, we get what we call Christianity. We'll dispel that myth among many others about the Council of Nicaea. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E. Send us an email here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor Jonathan Fisk is a regular guest. He's pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, and he's host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting. Jonathan, welcome back.
Hey, good to be back.
In this first movie that we're going to talk about, Prometheus, first of all, tell us what the movie is, basically. Set us in context. But what's the worldview that, if you had to put a label on it, what's a worldview that we find in Prometheus?
Okay, Prometheus is a science fiction horror movie that's a throwback. They haven't made a lot of movies like this since the late 80s and then early 90s. A throwback to this style of, like, suspense horror. It's not the hack and slash, gory, bloody. It's more the gruesome fear. You don't see the monster necessarily right away, kind of thing. And it is a prequel of sorts to the old Alien movies, Alien, Aliens, Alien 3, and then Alien Resurrection, directed by the same guy, Ridley Scott. It's a beautiful film with a lot of emphasis on environment and against the science fiction kind of what would the world be like in 100 years realistically, you know, not the super sci-fi of Star Trek, but kind of more of a almost a 2001 Space Odyssey, but updated. The worldview is a fascinating thing in this movie because you have a clash of worldviews going on, and I don't know if the movie is doing this intentionally or not. It might be between the modernist kind of we can understand everything, science is our God worldview, and the postmodern I choose to believe because I want to believe, and that actually does begin to define my reality worldview. And there's even a real intentional questioning of Darwinism and promoting of a sort of almost intelligent design, but not that goes on as well. And it's not like it's like Darwin's wrong. It's more like Darwin is incomplete, and we need to add something to that, whether it's God, whether it's aliens, we're not sure, but. Ultimately, you can't tell me I'm wrong because I'm going to choose a different way, and that will become its own truth of sorts.
One of the things we haven't talked about, now you raised the genre of horror. We've talked about violence, we've talked about sex in movies, but what about the horror movie as a genre suitable for Christian viewing?
Yeah. I'm not a fan of horror myself. I confess there were about three moments in this movie where I closed my eyes, put my hands over my eyes, and just didn't want to watch. This is certainly a genre that the gray line gets a little darker, is a little easier to see where maybe as Christians we should really question, is this or is this not something I should be watching? I think the same answer that I've been giving to the question of violence does come back. Is this simply gore, the mutilation of humans for the sake of enjoying the mutilation of humans, or is there merely suspense to serve an overall plot and using fear as part of the driving factor in the plot? And in that regard, I think Prometheus is, it really does a pretty good job of not crossing the line. Again, there are these few moments that are a bit gruesome and not ideal. But as opposed to, say, I think in the old horror movies like the Nightmare on Elm Street and so forth, where it's just pure destruction for the sake of destruction, I'm less inclined to think that's a positive thing. And also recognizing, though, that one of the worst things Christians can do is say, thus saith the Lord, where the Lord hath not thus saith it, and making our own personal pieties into rules for others. So that's an important part of that puzzle as well.
With only about 30 seconds here on Prometheus, there is a cosmology, a theory of cosmology at work here called panspermia. What is it, and why should Christians be wary?
Yeah, panspermia is like this idea that evolution couldn't have possibly done it all entirely because it's mathematically impossible. So there must have been some information that came into the world somewhere else. It can't be God, of course. And so, well, maybe it was aliens. And they seeded, they spermed the world with DNA or some sort of design that has led us to be what we are today. And this is very clearly done at the opening scenes of Prometheus, that aliens are planting the existence of human beings on Earth way back, 35,000 years ago kind of thing. And it's interesting because this is intelligent design, ultimately. It is not pure Darwinism, They don't call them designers in the movie. They call them engineers. But it's the same kind of concept. And what's neat is to see how the pop mentality now, even as the debate for evolution still rages and the true scientists say you can't possibly believe in intelligent design, here you have in pop culture the media is having to ask the questions, does pure Darwinism make sense? And their answer, aliens, doesn't make necessarily much more sense, but at least it recognizes the need for a designer.
Who are we? We are no one. Our mission is to monitor extraterrestrial activity on Earth.
Flacco, you know you're not supposed to be north of Canal Street.
Who is Flacco?
Just relax, punk. You're looking for me, not you.
Crazy, right? Two grown men talking to the wall talking back. It's a mess. But hey,
Don't even worry about it.
Well, from science fiction horror to science fiction comedy, that's Men in Black 3. What did you make of this one, Jonathan?
I was really disappointed with this film. I had seen the first Men in Black back in the day and enjoyed it. I think a lot of people did. It was funny. It was clever. Kind of played on some other sci-fi themes that had already been developed. And Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones are both really good actors. So it just kind of came off. Didn't ever see the second one. This one really felt like it was running on the fumes of the idea. And assuming that you were just the greatest fan of these two other movies, and so you were going to put up with whatever they threw at you. And yet it's almost a decade since the last one came out, and so it's like where the fumes aren't even there anymore. It did eventually catch up with itself and give you something of a useful story. There's some really moving points near the end, some ideas about family, self-sacrifice, and so forth. So that's nice and all, but I don't know. I just expected a better movie, and ultimately it's maybe a rental. I wouldn't waste your money in the theater on it.
With only about a minute here before we take our break, I mean, obviously it's got the special effects sufficient to wow anybody for as long as they can stay entertained. Was it funny?
At times. Will Smith is a funny guy, right? And so you can't go too long before one of his trap set jokes actually hits and you laugh at it. So there's some clever moments. But it was stale funny compared to the freshness of the original film, which seemed to be just constantly hitting the ball with every joke it made.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk is our guest. We're doing some movie reviews on this Tuesday afternoon. It's June the 12th. We're coming to you live. You can join us with questions or comments. When we come back, we'll talk about Battleship. They got around to it finally, making a movie based upon a board game. Movies based upon comic books, that's old hat now. Now a movie based upon a board game. We'll see if it holds up. And then Snow White and the Huntsman, one of the attempts to remake, well, an old story and then a Disney classic. And this one is not a Disney classic. This one is the dark version of Snow White. We'll talk about that with Pastor Jonathan Fisk after this. Join Issues Etc. regular guest Gene Edward Veith, Stephen Hine, and me for the Conference on Classical and Lutheran Education, July 17th through the 19th at Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. Topics include teaching Latin, music, history, literature, the catechism, and more. Visit ccle.org for more information. The Conference on Classical and Lutheran Education, July 17th through the 19th in Houston, Texas, ccle.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
What is wrong with you?
You went from enlisted to an officer faster than anyone in the history of the United States Navy.
But I have never, ever seen a man waste himself better than you.
my daughter sees in you is a great mystery to me. Enjoy these naval exercises, Hopper. They're likely to be your last.
What the heck is that?
Got an unknown surface contact.
Rich, T.O., I've got nothing on the scope.
Let's get a team in a rip to investigate this thing.
Hopper! You're on it!
Copy, sir.
Trailer from the movie Battleship. Pastor Jonathan Fisk is our guest on this Tuesday afternoon. We're doing some movie reviews in it a little bit, Snow White and the Huntsman. Now, you say that this movie Battleship, and again, kind of quasi-sci-fi war movie, is about the Greatest Generation?
That's probably the most entertaining part of the movie, is that they have all these modern ships that they're doing these naval exercises on, and these aliens attack kind of out of nowhere and just destroy the major navy of the U.S. or at least block out a lot of them. And so at the end, the heroes have to use this old battleship, and they don't have a crew, and these naval officers, retired World War II vets, who were there for these games, end up piloting arming and manning the ship. And you get these really cool shots of the way that these ships used to work and just how advanced and yet archaic compared to what we have now things were back then. And it's a tribute in that sense, and really beautiful and amazing. I came out of there just respecting how on earth did these men handle these things, the intelligence level, the commitment level, the work ethic, to be able to run a ship like that. We're just a bunch of lazy bums with a bunch of neat toys these days. So it definitely has that tribute edge to it.
Is it entertaining enough is it to take the... whenever you do something that involves the military, especially the U.S. military, you obviously want some entertainment there, but you also want due respect. Does it do both?
Yeah, Battleship was a really terrible movie that I totally and thoroughly enjoyed. If you go into this thing, you know how this is. You get excited about going to a movie, and you go see it, you're disappointed. You go in thinking, oh, this movie is going to be terrible, and you come out, wow, it was pretty good. That's my experience with this film. It was entertaining. I hated the main character as a protagonist. I thought he was annoying. The actor was kind of useless, and I had no reason to care for him. And yet, I rooted for him. I rooted for the entire army to win. It didn't mock the military per se, but again, I came out really respecting the history that the military has, and thinking, man, I hope I can be that kind of a committed person in my own world, which is kind of amazing, given that it's a movie about silly aliens based on a board game, which is about the last board game I'd ever think you'd base a movie on.
Do you think it's a beginning of a trend? I mean, we did have, for the last two decades, more or less, movies based upon comic books, which is kind of a natural. They're narratives, they're stories. What about movies based on board games? Do you predict a future for such a thing?
I don't know. Hungry, Hungry Hippos, the film, right? I think what this is Hasbro, which is a company that both makes toys and board games, and some of the toys they make also have comic book crossovers, so especially Transformers. I think they also have the rights to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, although I could be wrong about that one. And so what they're doing is trying to capitalize on a way to make money that they've seen in one of their other areas, and so they're like, well, can we do it with board games? But what games would you really want to make into good movies? I mean, Monopoly, the film, it doesn't quite fit, and that has something to do with there's no real plot, per se. You have to entirely fabricate the plot, and the only similarity between the game and the movie is, a ship. You could make the movie of life, right? And so you have two people in a car that are married. But then after that, you have to completely reinvent whatever you want to have the movie be about. So I wouldn't call it a 20-year trend, even if it does manage to happen a few times.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is fairest of them all?
You are the fairest, but there is another destined to surpass you. Consume her heart, and you shall rule forever.
Well, the darker telling of the story of Snow White here, the dwarves are not part of the title. The Huntsman is. Jonathan, you saw this film. This is probably the one that has the most current star power. I mean, it's going to borrow from the biggest star from the Twilight series, and it's going to retell this classic story that many of us only know through Walt Disney. What did you make of it?
This is the one I think of all of them I was most disappointed in, and that's because it had the most potential. I saw the trailer for this, and I tell you, the last thing you could ever convince me would be a story for a movie that I would want to go and see is Snow White. I have no desire to go watch a movie about Snow White. And I saw the trailer, and I was like, holy mackerel, they really did this one right. Reinvented it with kind of that postmodern throw-it-back twist, shifting everything just enough to make it interesting, making it into an action movie. It looked really good. And then you go, and it's a bunch of special effects and a lot of fighting and some good actors with some really flat dialogue and a whole lot of gaping holes in the plot. One of the youth that I went to the movie with afterwards came out and said, yeah, that movie is really great as long as you never ask the question, why? And you can't. You can't ask why at any point in the movie. We proceeded, after the youth said this, for the next 15 minutes to simply, in a circle, ask why questions. And we came up with like 30 different holes in the plot that were just gaping. And this isn't even like you have to go search for it. And so it just never held together. And yet, it had all the right elements. So what is that? Is that the director? Is that the script? Is that the producer? I'm not sure where the hole fell through. I wouldn't even say rent this one. It just didn't work.
So you say if you don't ask why and you were able to come up with a bunch of why questions, give us an example of the whys that are not answered in a story that otherwise probably could have held a lot of water.
Oh, yeah, I think I'm going to fail on this one because it's been 2 weeks. Okay, so Snow White and the Huntsman are running away from this brother of the Queen who's trying to find Snow White because they want to cut out her heart so the Queen can live forever. And they keep going further and further into this dark forest that everyone's afraid to go into, and they keep escaping and get, like, you know, a day and a half away, and then suddenly, just at random moments, he finds them again, even though they're in the middle of this wasteland. I mean, it would be impossible for anybody to track them down. It's like, you know, in the movie The Princess Bride, Prince Humperdinck is the greatest hunter ever, and he's able to track them no matter where they go. Well, it's like that, except they never tell you that. It's just like, randomly, the bad guys ride onto the scene right at the moment when this amazingly good thing was happening, and it happens enough times you're like, what is going on? How are they finding them? And so, but you can't ask that question. You can't ask why. You just have to accept, well, the bad guys found them, so now it's time for another chase scene. And it's constant like that all the way through. There are just these kind of gaping holes, and you never get answers to them.
So even in the world of fantasy, where the viewer is asked and required to suspend judgment, to suspend that sense of kind of this isn't real, it still doesn't hold. It still does not hold together. It still has too many holes in it. It still stretches credulity.
Yeah, good fantasy works because it asks you to suspend your rules for your world, but it's going to give you another set of rules, and the world in which it creates plays by those rules. And they never give you rules in this one, and whatever rules might be there get broken. It never really even makes good on the promises it claims to give you.
Does the acting do anything to redeem the bad story?
No, I wish it did. You know, it has the guy who played Thor in the Marvel films, who I think is kind of fun. It's probably more the dialogue than the actors, that the script itself is pretty weak. But there's not. Yeah, even the Queen, who was in Prometheus as well, and was, I can't remember her name, she was fantastic, but in all she does is scream. She's like yelling and screaming all the time. It's like, you know, can someone make the screen be quiet, please? You know? And when you're thinking that in a movie, it's failing.
So of the four that we've talked about, Prometheus, Men in Black 3, Battleship, Snow White and the Huntsman, with about 30 seconds here, which would you say is worth going to actually see in the theater?
I hate to say this because, again, I'm not like the horror film guy, but Prometheus is a good movie. It really is. You have to kind of cover your eyes a few times, and it certainly has a special genre to it, but it is by far the best of the four. Battleship is a good, entertaining flick. It's a guy flick. You kind of just relax and go. I really would say pass on the other two unless you've got a real love for either the actors or the particular story or the in Men in Black 3, you know, the series.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk is pastor for Witness and Youth at Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting. You can find out more about Worldview Everlasting at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Before we let you go, Jonathan, we just found out last week that Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, voted recently to continue its support for the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. Thank you so much for that.
Oh, it's our pleasure. You guys do such great work getting the gospel out in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. Keep it up.
And thanks for being our guest.
Yep.
Folks, the deadline is rapidly approaching. I imagine that if you asked nicely, your congregation would consider a request to include Issues Etc. in its mission or advertising budget, even if the deadline is the end of this month, that is July 1st, a new fiscal year for many congregations. Here's how you can easily do that. You don't even have to put a sales pitch together for yourself. You simply go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support. You'll find a one-page flyer there that explains everything your congregation needs to know about joining the Issues Etc. 300, what they're asked to do, and the benefits that they receive. Issuesetc.org, click support. Print off that one-page flyer, take it to your congregation, and ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300. Remember, the deadline, July 1st for that fiscal year, is coming up quickly, so act now. When we come back, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We'll talk about David the Shepherd Boy. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Thank you, Todd, and thanks for everything you do.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the value of Issues Etc.
You've done so much to teach so many people about the depth of the gospel and to find joy in the Christian life and experience.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. Issues Etc. Listen to what you want, when you want, at issuesetc.org.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service, every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Planned Parenthood's making headlines again. This time, undercover videos reveal several facilities were willing partners in doing sex selection abortions. A group claiming to provide health services to women is killing unborn babies just because they're female. What hypocrisy! A Pennsylvania State Representative, Daryl Metcalf, effectively pointed out just how many abortions Planned Parenthood does overall. Let's look at their annual report. It shows this largest chain of abortion mills in the U.S. does an abortion every 96 seconds. That's right, about every minute and a half, 24 hours a day, Planned Parenthood kills another innocent unborn baby. And an alarming 91% of all pregnant women who walk into Planned Parenthood facilities have abortions.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.